of the Living Geek.
I had a whole thing where I was going to pretend to be the Crypt Keeper because it's a couple days before Halloween. I don't care enough to do it. I will tell you, I thought long and hard on how to Crypt Keeper up millennials versus Gen X. Because the hard part isn't doing... Oh, actually, no. I'm not in practice.
That was Irish.
Yeah, I started doing a leprechaun. Whatever, I don't care. No, I was practicing the voice most of the day. The hard part isn't doing the voice. The hard part is thinking of the puns. So I eventually came up with Killennials and Gen X. Because that's the sort... That's the exact sort of thing that Crypt Keeper would have said. Yeah. And before I go too much further, do you know... Okay, so they're rebooting the series. Reviving the series. It's not a reboot. They're reviving it, which is great. It's something that could be used again. But they're thinking if they're going to do it, they're not going to use the Crypt Keeper. And it's like, well, what's the point?
Bullshit.
Exactly, right? What's the point of that? Otherwise, it's just, Are you afraid of the dark? It's like, you need to have that introduction. That was the fun part of it.
Well, are they still going to have like random celebrities? I sure hope so.
Especially because like back then it was like celebrities on the downturn of their careers. So you got Robert Downey Jr. because at that point everyone thought, oh, well, he's been kicked off of Saturday Night Live and Ally McBeal hasn't started yet. So his career is pretty much over. And yeah, I don't know. I always like that. You could see people on the upswing or downswing. Yeah.
If you say so.
Yeah, it was cool. Just the people you got. So, yeah.
Joe Pesci was on there.
He was? Oh, he's definitely, yeah. Wait, was it before or after My Cousin Vinny? Because remember, his career was basically...
Definitely after. My Cousin Vinny was like 88. What are you talking about?
No, it wasn't that recent.
Yes, it was.
Or wasn't that old, rather. It was like...
Yes, it is. All right, I'm gonna...
I'll look it up. Yeah, look it up while we're... This is going. Hey, how you doing?
I was 92.
Yeah, see, I told you. It was quite a few years after 88. I remember that.
Four. It's not that many. But anyway.
That's quite a few. Hello, people. Hey. Hi. How you doing?
I'm good now.
You remember those old PSAs where the celebrity would be like reading a newspaper and they're like, oh, hello there. You just caught me unawares with this camera. Let me talk to you about hepatitis C.
Yes, I do remember.
That's essentially what happened here with episode 6 of Killennials versus Gen X. There we go. The truth works well.
Spectacular episode?
No. Oh my it was God. Gonna be. It was gonna be, and then we had our big long Star Trek talk that I'm. I thankfully wasn't recording.
Oh,
yeah, no, it's you bastard. I got all the rest of it. If you guys want that, just listen to The Greatest Generation. You don't need to listen to Andy. Yeah. So, apparently you have thoughts about, you have a thing that you want to talk about with confessionals. You copied Big Data.
Oh, no, I don't know if people are some people think it matters in terms of trying to predict who's going to be in the game long term, who's not going to be in the game long term. Through episodes, Will, White Chocolate Rain, has the fewest confessionals. He has 3 confessionals in 6 episodes, which ties him with Lucy and Rachel. Voted out week 1, Rachel. And it's 2 fewer than Sunday, who hasn't had a confessional since episode 3. On the flip side, David has the most. The producers seem to love David, and he's straight up. He has a 27, followed by Adam with 16. So he's 11 past that, and then Zeke and Chris. I don't know why that matters. All I know is Michaela didn't have a confessional last week or the week before, and she had 1 confessional this week, and it was glorious.
Wait, didn't she? Michaela had one. How many episodes ago was it?
2 weeks ago.
Was it 2 weeks ago where she, it was in the water challenge and she took her top off? Yeah, was that? Yeah. Oh, okay, so that was 2 weeks. All right, yeah, never mind.
That was her last confessional. Yeah. All right. Her confessional here was about a second and a half long and it was fantastic.
Oh, no, it was good. As soon as, more or less, the introduction to the episode is Taylor? No. Jay looking for the idol. But what's great is he's trying to be subtle about it. So he asks, hey, who wants to go look for dead coconuts? And then as soon as he does that, Michaela just gives him this look. And basically, I guarantee you, she was watching them the entire time that they were searching for that thing.
Yeah. I just love the, hey, what you got there?
Yeah.
If I didn't love her enough already.
Oh, she's real great. I like her because she gets the game. She knows how to play. Like she said, if I start feeling weird, I'm going to start snitching.
Yeah. Well, and I also appreciate it. I mean, not only is it stuff like this, but then, I mean, she's collected enough and calm enough and calculating enough about this stuff. But then when it comes down to it in the challenges, she lets out the super competitive, fiery side that she doesn't let out the rest of the time that she's on the show. Like in this immunity challenge when she's just yelling at Hannah, like, fucking shut up and stop moving. I will do this myself. And well, Jeff is like, wow, she must be pissed. And she's like, no, I just want to fucking win. Well, Hannah. I just want to fucking win.
That was good strategy, actually. We'll get to that when we get down to the mini challenge. But that was actually really good strategy on
obviously.
On their part. Yeah.
But I appreciate the duality that she's displaying here. Obviously trying to rein some of herself in moments like this.
Right. Yeah. She's got a good brain for this thing. David also, like, all right, yeah, David's not very good at these challenges, which we'll also get into, but he gets the game in a really interesting way that I like. Like what he says just before they get into everything else here is that he says that it's not millennials or Gen X. It's now people I trust versus people I don't trust, essentially. That may not be a verbatim quote, but it was something along those lines. It's like he gets that you're not just going to stay loyal to your tribe the entire time because there's a clear pecking order there. And if you're not number one, you're going to go home and lose.
Which makes me really excited for the merge because David's going to hook back up with Ken, and Ken has brought in Adam, who I believe is on the same wavelength as David here.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for that eventuality because David and Adam are both thinking the same right now, I think.
Yeah, and I'm a little curious to see what's going to happen with Zeke and Chris because they still seem really close to each other, but Chris and Ken weren't exactly that close. So I'm curious if they can work together or if they're going to be opposed to one another. And if they do, I don't think Chris has the numbers, which means Zeke is not gonna last much longer than that.
Yeah, but I don't know if I see Zeke tied to Chris so closely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see what you're saying, and hopefully that is the case. But right now, like, I mean, these last two episodes so far, it's just pure hero worship. Now,
yeah,
he might be able to set all that aside, bracket it, and then advance through there. That's fine. I could see that happening. But just my gut, not that it's worth much, but my gut says that he's a little more enamored with Chris than he's letting on, or rather that his degree of enamorment, if that's even a word, is less performative and more actual.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I agree with your assessment.
Hooray! All right, so what else happened then? Let's see. We mentioned that they got the idol, which is good. I don't know. Feel like, was I about to pick up Jay? Yeah, I was going to pick up Jay last week, but I stuck with Brett in the end, which made me feel now, oh my god, I would have had all three idols if I had picked him up.
You might have a chance. You might.
I don't think.
I mean, Jay is growing on me in the course of the show, because not only is he proving himself to be really good at challenges, even though he didn't look like that, he'd play that part, but he really is great in all the challenges. And he had his little sob story, which, yeah, sure, here nor there. Everybody kind of has a story. But what's enamoring me about him is his genuine excitement. I mean, he's a dumbass. But I appreciate his genuine excitement for this game and his appreciation of it. And I truly believe he has a better perspective about what he's doing out there than what he lets on. I think he puts out a persona of just living the moment, but I think he is more than that.
Yeah.
But I also might be really enamored with him because of the awesome, oh, I hear the Survivor theme playing in my head, and it slowly creeps up.
The thing I'll mention is that he at least understands why Figgy and Taylor, I'm never going to say Tails, god damn it, why...
Except for every other time you've said it already.
I know, but I'm going to try and stop. I hate Tails. Anyway, he seems to get that that's not going to last. Like, he wants them to be on his side. He likes them, but he keeps saying, all right, they're shooting themselves in the foot. You know what I mean? They're, by going around and exposing themselves and showing everyone that they're a power couple, he's putting, or they are putting him in a very bad position.
It's intelligent and it's not intelligent. Like, it's not intelligent because you know the right decision is to break them up. But on the other hand, it's smart if they're in your alliance, because if your alliance comes under fire, you know it's not you. You know, yeah. The first thing they're going to do against your alliance is break up the power couple at its core. And then from there, you can peel off. Yeah. So it depends on how much forethought he did put into it and didn't put into it.
It's to a blade of bodies.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, he bonded real fast with...
Tails?
Taylor. Yeah, Tails. I was like, wait, which one are we talking about now? Jay or Taylor? Yeah, he bonded really fast with Taylor. And so he was kind of made that bed and then just decided, all right, well, I'm going to sleep in it. Probably a poor choice of words considering who we're talking about. So they did a reward, which this was the not the ball one. That was the immunity challenge.
This is the blindfoldy one. This was the blindfoldy shouting at each other one.
Yeah, which is a thing that I like, because when you're blindfolded, people will bump into things and fall down. And when people are shouting, there's always going to be one person who they're ignoring and they're just kind of wandering around in nothingness.
And you know what? Ken proved that he was the smartest person out there with the blindfold on, because he was walking around with his hand cupped around his nuts.
Yep.
He was.
Yeah.
The entire time.
He needed it too, because he bumped into things like twice. And it had real bad spills as a result.
Yeah.
Yeah. David, once again, I don't know. It might have just been... I don't know what was going on.
Apparently he has a hearing problem, because he seemed to hear perfectly fine when Chris yelled.
Yeah, he just, I don't know, I guess he couldn't hear or couldn't understand Michelle when she was shouting at him. And at least according to the microphones that we heard, she was doing just fine, but he had no idea. He was just kind of like, I don't know what's going on. And he would frequently make his way up to the wrong boxes and try and untie those, and yeah. And then Michaela, you probably saw Michaela shoo him away. She's like, move,
move.
Yeah. Get out of here.
That was great.
And I like the, normally when they do these kind of challenges, you get the puzzle pieces, you come back and you do the puzzle with the blindfold off. I like that. In this one, they made them keep it on. Well, that's another little layer of difficulty that I liked.
At first I was thinking, like, none of them, like, why don't they have him stand on the other side of the table so they can see? Then I was thinking, but then they're going to, like, fuck themselves up and start calling off the wrong chins and shit.
Oh, yeah. It's flip left and right.
Yeah.
But Michelle kicked that puzzle part's ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which was impressive.
He really sucked at it.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was what was impressive, because what tribe is Michelle? They're Vanua?
The orange one. I don't know.
Yeah, Michelle's Vanua. Yeah, so Vanua, they're the ones with David who took their sweet time getting all over the place, and they just managed to clap, 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 get that thing done. Ikabula did a good job, and then you're right. Figgy just failed.
So afterwards, Figgy's crying about it, going, and I'm good at puzzles.
No,
you're not. It was an 8-piece puzzle. The problem was not that he was doing exactly what you told him to do. The problem was you didn't understand what the hell the puzzle looked like.
Yeah, empirically, she is not good at puzzles.
But I mean, I will say, I appreciate this one because it gets rid of a lot of the physical discrepancies between the tribes. Like we were saying last week, Ikabula has a huge advantage, and Takali is really, not Takali, Vanua is really underpowered. But in this one, it's completely nullified. And even though Vanua came from behind and Takali completely dropped the ball, it was a lot closer than last week's challenge.
Yeah, it was nowhere near that blowout.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we forgot that the lead up to the challenge was Figgy doing her wonderful poker face and just cheering, yay, it's Cece that's gone.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was really worried about Michelle.
Yeah, it's just like, if I was Michelle, I'd just been like, oh, I swear to God, you're going to get me voted out, lady. And thankfully... that's not going to be a problem anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's not even just, oh, good, it wasn't a millennial. It was, oh, my God, I love Michelle.
Yeah.
Well, and what I like is, and this is why I think, I don't know how much of this is intentional and not intentional, because all we've seen of her, you can't really tell. So Michelle takes that moment and flips it and makes it about her and for her favor. And she gives the line of the show saying, you know, truth works well on Survivor, which is not true. Right. No. But Michelle is continuing to slowly build this image of herself as the honest, good, moral Christian girl.
Yeah.
Right. And in the beginning, it didn't matter because she got Jay chasing her because she was hot. But if she continues to build this image, we know from the videos before the show came out, before the show started this season, that she's building that image purposefully.
Yeah.
That she's like, I'm going to take advantage of the fact that they see me as a good Christian. So I don't know if this was just impulse or if she is smart enough to think like this on the fly to take that moment and flip it and be about her truthful image and her honest personality. Because that was a really sly, great little moment out of Michelle.
Also, yeah, I mean,
I don't think she was thinking that deep into it. She was just saving her ass.
Yeah, that's what
I was. I can't tell. Maybe.
Yeah. No, I think what she did when they were back at the tribe eating all their cookies and shit, and then when she turned that around, like, to them when they're talking, they're like, could you believe, like, she thinks I'm the greatest thing ever? Look at that dumbass.
Yeah. That was the more of the, that was the better survival instinct, because that signals to Zeke that you're not just going to take it for granted that, yeah, he's on the bottom. You're going to be like, oh my God, can you believe that? Oh dear. That signals you're still willing to work with him a little bit. But then after the challenge is over, Hannah is actually kind of smart. She realizes something's wrong. And so she starts heading over to the shade and calming, or trying to calm down before her little panic attack, heat stroke, whatever you want to call it, starts to get worse. But I have the feeling it probably started off as like minor heat stroke or something. And then her
nothing to do with heat. He specifically explained exactly what happened.
Well, no,
she was breathing too fast. And when your body doesn't need to, it freaks the fuck out.
Right. You didn't let me finish. It probably started as something like that. And then she panicked over the fact that, oh my God, I'm going to die on an island and I'm having this bad thing happen to me. And yeah, so
you're not going to let me die, are you?
Right. And it's like, that's when it became a panic attack instead. Like, it would probably was, because, I mean, you got to realize it's hot. They haven't eaten much. They haven't slept much. So as soon as something goes a little bit bad, she's going to obsess over it. And that's what's going to evolve into a panic attack. Because otherwise, she was just sitting there fine. But then once it was like, oh my God, I'm feeling a little peaky. That's when she started to not trigger herself. That's not the right word, but you know what I mean? That's the point where she started to have trouble.
That's where her attack started escalating. Yeah. And I mean, panic attacks are no joke, and there's a stigma around them that they only happen to people like Hannah, who are nervous, anxiety ridden people. But I'm not surprised it happened to someone at Nikabula, because they're extra exhausted from building a shelter all the fuck over again. And they don't have the food resources or comfort resources that the other tribes do. So luckily it happened to Hannah when she was on the bench. And luckily it hasn't happened to anyone else from that tribe during a challenge. But it's no joke. It's something that people are like, oh, yeah, she just got worked up. No, it's a serious thing.
Well, I think if she was competing in the challenge, she would have been okay, because her mind would have been occupied with something else.
The focus, yeah.
Yeah, so...
The susceptibility for something like this definitely raises when you put them in that tribe.
Yeah. The other thing I was going to point out about it is I feel like everyone makes the same mistakes over and over and over, where they have – who else was on the bench with her? It was –
Brett.
No, Brett. Well, Brett's the other tribe, isn't he?
No, Brett is Ikabula, isn't he?
Oh, Brett is Ikabula. Mind. All right, never mind. I saw that he was on the bench, but I didn't realize he was on her team. Because I was going to say, the mistake they make is realizing you can't sit two challenges in a row. So why have Hannah, who isn't that physically gifted, let's just be honest about it, not that physically apt, and they're going to have her sitting for a reward challenge instead of immunity. That seems silly to me. But then they also had Brett sit. And he is more physically fit and would have been able, and was in fact able to compete in the immunity challenge meaningfully.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know what the immunity is going to be, and Hannah seems like a smart person, and maybe you're thinking you'll save her for a possible puzzle in the immunity.
We've seen her do puzzles so far. She doesn't seem that...
Okay, the other people on this tribe,
she seems like a smart person? When did that happen?
Oh, no, no. The other people on this tribe, compare. Will, Jay...
Yeah, Will seems Sunday. Good at...
Yeah, God, you got a good point.
Will seems good at chow, or could be good at a puzzle.
I don't know. We're talking about them being smart, though.
I mean, I'm just saying, among her tribe members, she is one of the better people, probably, in terms of intelligence.
Oh, my God. Like, Sunday is spinning the thing. Like, you know, maybe just push it, you dumbass, instead of running around in circles.
And then getting yourself all tuckered out.
Yeah, well, yeah. So I'm guessing they reserved her on the thought that possibly she would get to do a role in the immunity challenge that was completely non-physical.
Yeah. Yep. Maybe.
Yep.
All right, we'll move on then, because this is what we wanted to talk about originally, but we had to get through to the reward challenge, was Figgy and Taylor being so confident and excited that they're like, you know what? We can parade around now. We can come out as it were. And not even as it were. Those were Figgy's exact words. We can come out to everyone and tell them that we're together. And as soon as she does, everyone's like, yeah, no shit.
Yeah.
And they're like, what? And this is what I'm saying. This is what I've been saying. They think they're so friggin' smart. And they're like, oh, we're getting one over. Nobody knows that we're together. I guess we'll tell them. And like, yeah, no, we got it. It's pretty obvious. Like, no way.
No, but do you not
see really good Taylor impression?
What it was. Do you not see how fucking stupid that would have been if they actually didn't know? The fuck would you tell them?
Yeah. Well, that's. I loved Ken's reaction of like, I've been around the block a bunch, all right? I've been in relationships. I know how these work. Yeah, all right? That kind of thing. Like, don't you dare. Like, I like that he was actually a little bit offended that she thought she had gotten it over on them.
Yeah.
He's like, come on. Come on. Yeah.
I'm fucking dumb, I think I am.
I mean, like, even if you knew, don't shove it in their faces, you morons.
Yeah.
Oh, God, they're dumb.
But that's how confident they were, and
yeah, okay. Now they're talking about how confident they are because, well, we've got the numbers. Did you guys not just see the other tribe that, you know, voted out the people with the numbers?
Yeah. Well, also, it's like they just assume Adam is with us because he's young, and he's like, no. But also, at the same
time, knows damn well he's not with them.
Yeah, and but like. No,
He could have been, and I think that's where the interesting thing in this challenge in this episode happens is because, like we were saying before, Adam or last week I think it was Adam could be looking at maybe the millennials stay strong, but you know you come back and you see CeCe gone in a tribe where Gen X actually had the numbers, and then you have to look at that and you have to realize at that point those millennials are mixing with those Gen Xers and those lines have broken down, right? And you already know that the other people on Ikabula aren't that interested. So why would you maintain your allegiance?
Yeah.
Well,
there's no point.
You're right.
He knows damn well that he's the last millennial if they do get back together.
Yeah. And so Adam's making the right decision. But it's like, as we said, Figgy and Taylor, they're just so confident in their position. I feel like they were the A-type, really popular kids in high school. And they just, like, nothing that terrible has ever happened to them. You know what I mean? Like, they everybody always had their back. And so they didn't realize that the people who aren't number one, they kind of resent you. And especially in a game like this, where they know not being number one is how you lose this thing, they're going to throw you under the bus first opportunity they get. And they are so surprised when that happens. We should just go through the immunity challenge real fast because it was basically run out to the water, get the pieces, throw the pieces to, empty these bags with a bunch of coconuts, grab three balls, and then do like a little one of those little tippy puzzles to get the balls into the hole. And the twist of it this time was a really interesting twist in that instead of one person controlling the table, it was two people, one hand each.
Was it one hand each? I thought no.
One side each. It doesn't like because normally if you're one person, you have one hand on each side. So one side each. Don't take my words too literally.
It didn't make any sense.
Yeah, well, basically each one acted as on one of the sides. And the thing is, like, all right, so Michaela just takes right over and basically tells Hannah to just not do anything, just stand completely still. And this seems really, really cruel until you realize, no, that's actually the best advice you can get. Like,
you know Hannah's not useful in challenges, and I doubt she has the coordination to do this too.
Well, it doesn't matter who it was. It could have been Ken. It could have been anyone other than Michaela. If you have two people operating independently on this thing, and if you see, for the episode art this week, I will actually use that because I've been told start using episode art again. I thought it was a whole step I could skip, and apparently not. Anyway, so you'll see what it looks like if you go to the site, or maybe it shows up on iTunes. I don't know. Like having two people independently operating it is going to cause a lot of problems. We see that with Figgy and who was her partner? Was it Sunday?
Jessica.
I get Jessica and Sunday mixed up all the time. But you see the two of them, they're trying to each one like work together, and it's like, no, that doesn't work. You need one. The best way to do it is the way that Ikebula did, where you have Hannah act as a constant. Just hold it, don't move, and then let Michaela do all of the actual maneuvering and work. That way you don't have any miscommunications, you don't have any guesswork, you just have one person figuring out what they need to do. And especially around the final corners, which are just one big old bar with almost no give room, and mm-hmm. if you get it off by just a little bit, it's going to go into a gutter, and you're going to have to start all over, which is what undid Figgy and Jessica. So, yeah, I think this was a really smart move. She may have been a little overly zealous about it, but it was the right thing to – it was the smart tactical thing to do.
Yeah, and as I was saying earlier, I mean, Michaela is super competitive. I think way more so than she lets on most of the time on this show, which is smart of her. But it comes out in moments like this when she's like, shut the fuck up. Just stand there. Don't move. And Jeff is like, oh, I'm sensing some animosity. And she's like, no, you don't. I love Hannah, but she needs to shut the fuck up and not move. And then after Michaela wins, she turns and directly starts helping Zeke and Michelle as they're doing the puzzle as well.
Now, and Jeff made mention of it, and then Taylor cries about it. But I mean, are Jessica and Figgy deaf? She heard what she told them. Do the same thing.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if she wasn't talking to you. Stupid bastards.
I mean, yeah. even so, Michaela's analysis of the situation is right. Like, if Vanua goes to tribal, you don't know what's going on in that tribe. You don't know why Cece got voted out of all the thing. And you don't know if they go back, it doesn't mean that those alliances that formed are still there. Like, you don't know if it's going to be Chris or Zeke or Michelle or whoever. All you know is that you have two millennials and two Gen X, and there's a 50-50 shot. One of your millennials that you can have a quick, easy bond with post-merge will be gone if they go. You know that. But if you still think that it's millennials, which you might not make Kabula because they've been coasting, and millennials have such a landslide there that it doesn't matter. On the flip side, I mean, you have 3-2 on Takali. There's no reason to link. And like she says, if you can't figure out how to work together, you deserve to go home.
Yeah.
It's a good analysis of the situation in the moment. Next week, she'll have to rethink.
But that being said, I think what she was saying was, you know, bullshit for the general population being around. Because she doesn't like Figgy and Tails.
Right.
Notice when she's responding to him, she doesn't even look at him. She's still looking at Michelle.
Yeah.
I think really what she meant was like, I hope they fucking break you assholes up.
Really. Well, because we're only a couple of episodes removed from them having that big blow up at the campfire.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's just a matter of Michaela Michaela's not part of an alliance that's strong. She's kind of with Jay, and who's kind of with Will, and kind of with Figgy and Tails, and kind of with Michelle. But among all of them, she's down at the bottom. She's down at the bottom with where Adam was. So it behooves her to maintain the millennials, because that at least gives her post-merge a couple more days to then figure out where she is after the merge. So it behooves her to push for that, because she doesn't have an alliance to lean back on. She doesn't have like a David, Ken, Jessica thing, or Chris, Zeke kind of thing. She doesn't have that bond directly with anyone.
Yeah, I like her odds if she can get to the end, because she can say, look, I did this without the alliance. I outplayed all of you. The thing is, I don't think she can get that far, because the minute she loses a challenge is the minute she's gone post-merge. Like, for now, she's still really useful in a tribal situation, so I think they're going to keep her around. But, yeah, I like her odds of winning the whole thing if she can get that far, but I don't know if she can, because she is trying to just do the whole thing by herself.
Yeah, yeah. And, it depends on who's still there and what shakes out post-merge, because there are still the huge physical threats around. Jay is one, Chris is one, Ken is one. Those are people who are going to have targets on their backs immediately post-merge. Yep.
Well, what? We didn't write which tribe it is, but it's the tribe with Ken and Figgy and Taylor Tikali. And Tikali. Yeah, Tikali is a tribe that loses this one. They are not good enough. Even as Figgy was giving up the immunity idol to start, she was giving that small second place one. She's like, "We're gonna get the big one tonight." It's like, well, yeah. sorry about that. You got a big one.
Yeah, you did.
That came out way more sexual than I meant.
She's right. Not going to get one now.
Exactly. It's like, I meant it in terms of like they booted you out big, but that didn't work anywhere near as I thought.
She got the big shaft.
She did get shafted. But you know what? She totally played herself on that one. Because, she seemed to just be like, all right, we're going for Ken, right? All right, cool, cool, cool. Everyone's with me? All right, great, 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 great. And even as Adam, there we go, could not think of his name. Even as Adam was fairly quickly, like, signaling, yeah, I'm going to vote for you at Tribal Council, she still was completely confident that it was Ken who was going home.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of different moves to make there. I honestly believe the one that really did them in was Taylor, because Taylor's not bright, and Taylor left and right highlighted exactly why you have to get out the power couple.
Yeah.
And I mean, Figgy at least tried to maintain the veneer of, yes, we're a power couple, but we're still here to play Survivor, and we're still here to make strategic moves. She at least tried to play the move of, like, we came here to play the game, and then we met. So it's the game first, then us.
Yeah.
She at least paid that lip service. On the flip side, Tails goes, if it were going to be you, I will fucking kill you. Which, yeah. Tails, you can't. That's exactly why you get voted out. That's exactly why you pick a power couple.
That's when it's like, oh, wait, two votes that are together, and they're always going to be together. Nope, we're done. I do love, though, Jeff asking them, hey, you want to get married right here, right now? I'm ordained.
That was great.
And then absolute terror in Taylor's eyes. He's like, what do you mean right now?
And Ken giving the point-by-point analysis of exactly what happened.
Yeah. Ken is some kind of wonderful. No joke. Like, he is a genius level in this game, because he was breaking down right then. Because I think he could tell that Adam was conflicted. And Adam, I can actually give him some credence to why he would need to act conflicted. Because he can't just, as soon as Ken and Sunday... God, I always forget this tribe. Who is the other one but Jessica? All right, God damn it. They are the same person to me.
Jessica's the one who opens her eyes really fucking wide all the time.
She's very surprised.
Red eye for like 3 days there.
Yeah. Well, she spends most of her life surprised. So if Ken and Jessica are just like, hey, we need you to flip, and he just goes like that, you know, like, okay, sure. Like, then they're not going to trust him at all. They need some way of thinking, okay, this guy is at least conflicted and we can have a chance to work him over. He's not going to just give, and we don't need to get rid of him next. So
I don't think he's as smart as you're giving him credit for. I think he was actually conflicted. I don't think he was smart enough to be like, hey, maybe I should act like I'm conflicted so I'm trustworthy later on.
Well, there's also...
I think he might, I
agree with you, Brian. I think he might have been conflicted because when Ken comes to him, he tells Ken, like, you're basically asking me to trust somebody I've never met. Which on the flip side assumes that he can trust the power couple.
Well, they trust him. That's the thing, is they trust him so far. And he's basically right now the millennials have the numbers as a whole, right? So in theory, his best bet is to just stick with that and see what he can make out of it. Now, that's theoretically speaking. So in practice, he needs to at least be convinced to be like, all right, let me make a move that could possibly alienate all of my other former millennial tribe mates. I mean, it's not as simple as just, oh, this is an offer. All right, going for it. That's what gets you in a lot of trouble, like changing your alliance every single week. Who was it? Last season, there was someone who was there with their voting blocks. And it's like, no, that's – no, this was a couple seasons ago because the voting blocks were second chances. But it's like, that's the thing. It's like you can't really rely on someone if it changes up that much. And so it behooves you then to get rid of them.
But Adam has never voted with them too. So he's not switching on them.
On the one – and also you're talking about whether or not the power couple can trust Adam, but I think it's the other way around, whether or not Adam can trust the power couple. Because after the merge, the power couple could get cast just to themselves. But if you trust the power couple, right, you can't trust them to be honest with you. But you can trust them – I put in the notes. You can trust them the way you trust a Ferengi. So Quark in DS9, in one of the best monologues in all of Star Trek, says, a Ferengi – may lie to you and do all of these terrible things to you, but you know at the end of the day, the sole motivator for everything a Ferengi does is greed. And therefore, that is a more honest and honorable motive because it is pure than humanity, which deceives for any given reason, or the Cardassians, who deceive for the fun of it. So if you go into this knowing that the power couple will always only ever vote in the power couple's best interest despite what they tell you, you can trust that reliability.
You fucking nerd.
But you have to know that. You have to know what they're doing. And that's difficult, especially because Taylor shows his volatility in Tribal. Just the I will fucking kill you if you kick one of us out.
I want to point out Taylor keeps making points about the numbers, there's 100% chance they're going to merge tomorrow. Like he keeps saying, like we have the numbers right now, the millennials, so you have to vote with us. But you know, like if he votes one of you out, then millennials only have one more than the Gen X. It's not a big deal to bring over one fucking person.
Yeah, and I think he's still thinking from a couple days ago, right? Because when they did the mix up. Two of the tribes had had the advantage. Two of the tribes had the millennials over the Gen Xers, and then the only tribe that had the Gen X advantage had a Gen X voted out. So it's slanting more and more towards millennials. And if you just keep doing that, then it makes like the last three or four Gen Xers after the merge easy to pick off. But again, that's Tails not looking at the situation. If CeCe got voted out, it means that there are millennials working with Gen Xers.
Yeah, well, not necessarily.
At least a little bit.
I mean, they had to vote for one of the Gen Xers if they were, you know, not going to vote for a millennial.
Yeah, but they also had to get a Gen Xer to vote alongside them.
Well.
So, yeah, there's point being, it's not millennial strong or blue strong or other things strong that we get all the
Braun
time. Braun strong. strong. Yeah, it is.
Strong.
Yeah, it's not as simple as all of that being the point. And there's at least some working together because one Gen Xer had to cross lines. And so if one of them is working with the two millennials there, when the tribes merge into one, who knows what could happen. But Taylor and Figgy aren't smart enough to figure that out. And that's why Figgy's gone.
Yeah. And I was thinking at first, like, finally, but then I realized this is actually only the second tribal she's been to.
Yeah. Her days, they were kind of numbered. She doesn't have the survival instinct to really play, pun not intended, to play this game. Like, she was just kind of there on an island to have an adventure, which is fine. I'm not saying, like, that's horrible, awful, whatever. But at the same time, there's a game going on around you. Like, Michaela has the instinct. Zeke has the instinct. David has the instinct, but not really the skill at the challenges. So it's an interesting blend this season. I really am enjoying this season a lot because of that blend of people.
I'm happy she's gone because it took what could have been an interesting thing and got rid of her. Like in the video interviews before the season, she talked about how she wanted to come out on Survivor and use her looks as a trap to lure in votes and to play the flirt game. And when she got there, the flirt game played her.
Yeah. And congratulations, you played yourself.
Yeah, she honestly fell into a relationship that she genuinely liked the guy, and that flirt game's gone. Like, Figgy, you now cannot flirt with anyone because every single person knows that you really don't give a shit about me because you care about Tails.
Yeah.
So the game she planned on playing was out the window on day three. and likewise, whatever Tails was wanting to do is gone too. They're immediately tied to the idea of a power couple, which you know can't work. And I'm honestly amazed it took this long. It should have been the first time.
Yeah. Well, I thought of something I was going to say. Another good reason for Adam to switch. I'm doing quotes with my fingers. Because this may have been the last chance to get one of them out before the jury. You don't want one of them on the jury, because if the other one gets to the end, there's 100% chance they're voting for that person.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, should we go on to fantasy then? Or is there anything anybody wants to mention first?
Nah. Nope.
All right. So as the Muppets said, moving right along, we've got our fantasy bets here. Did any bets go? I don't think any did.
Nope. If they resolve, I put them in the notes, so there's nothing.
Groovy. All right. None. We have in draft order. Oh, God. Why? I need to stop actually reading these things. So my team of Brett, David, and Adam, I got 13 more points this week to give me a total of 70. Brian, you actually gained some ground. You got 5 points each. You got 5 points each from Michelle, Zeke, and Chris, giving you 63. And then Andy here, you got 3, 5, and 3 from Ken, Michaela, and Jessica, respectively, to also put you at 70. Nobody owned Figgy. Somebody drafted her early, right? Didn't you, Brian? And then you dropped her?
No.
Nobody ever?
Rachel, because she had boobs.
I thought somebody had her and then realized, oh no, she can't be in for too much longer, and then dropped her. I guess I was wrong. So nobody lost anybody this week. So, Brian, you got the first chance if you want to add or drop anyone.
You guys tried to convince me to pick up Figgy last week.
Oh.
I'm glad that didn't work. Yeah.
Hey, well, pick up Jay. Drop Michelle and pick up Jay.
No, okay. For the same reason that I got, you know, all of the highest points this week because they're all in the same tribe, I'm going to stay this way.
But next week, if they lose everything like they did last week, you're just a...
Whatever. They didn't lose everything. They only lost the immunity challenge.
They lost every single challenge last week.
No, they did not.
How many
players?
9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. 14. So we've got at least 4 more people vote. Nah. Maybe two or three, like two more before they merge. So I don't know. It's a gamble. I don't know if I would be willing to take that, though.
Good. That's why I'm going to win.
Okay. All right. So you're sticking with what you have. All right. Now we have to figure out, since Andy, you and I are tied, how are we going to figure out who gets... Because I think we both would like Jay. How are we going to figure out who actually gets him?
I will defer to you because I want to see who you want to drop.
Oh, yeah. I'll definitely drop Brett then. I like Brett a lot. I like Brett a lot, but it's just, let's be smart. Let's, I got it. I'm typing it in. Mm-hmm. Mainly because they have the same colors, and that way I don't have to change anything. There we go. Yeah, so there we go. Brett, replace. Doop, 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 and it's done. Yeah. All right, cool. So now my team now consists of Jay, David, and Adam, meaning I have
all three community idols.
Yeah. That's a great place to be in. Well, is there...
You know, at least David knows how to play incorrectly.
Yeah.
Adam seems smart. Jay, we'll see what the fuck he does with
it. Yeah. Should we take bets on if Jay goes home with it in his pocket?
If you guys want. I don't think you will.
I'm not going to vote about him taking it in his pocket. I would vote about whether or not he wastes it. He's not going to get voted out anyway.
Yeah. All right.
Well, we could do that, Matt. Just, you know. All right. I'll get three if he wastes it. I get three if it's in his pocket, and Nick gets three if he uses it right.
Done.
Wait, no. How does that work? Because if he takes it home in his pocket, then that's still wasting it.
No. No, no, no. If he plays it and it doesn't do anything.
I don't like that bet because then Brian, you and I are splitting one side and Nick gets the entirety of the other side. I don't know. We don't all have three have to bet. You two can go in on this.
All right.
Okay, so I'm saying that he'll use it correctly and you're saying he won't?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Done. I like that. I'll take that action. Okay. Well, in that case, while you're typing that up, is there anyone you want to add a drop on your team? Now that Brett's back in the pool.
I've liked Brett a lot, but I don't know if I want to add Brett over Jessica. Because I just need to coast to the merge, right? Because Ken, Jessica, Adam, Dave, like, that's... If I get to the merge, that is the better alliance that's going to be there. So I've got to keep coasting. And now Adam's in that group too. That's a group of five. If they all make it to the merge, my God, I have three of the five of the best alliance after the merge. So I want to drop Jessica, but even if she's the bottom of that five, I see them as being tighter than can be broken up. So I'm gonna sit pat, I think.
All right. Cool. So then it looks like that will be it, unless folks you have 10 seconds to speak your mind. And then the Crypt Keeper will reappear!
No. God.
Yeah, I got nothing. Head back to
All right, cool. Yeah, no, I'm good too. All right, well, in that case, we will see you guys next week once again. This is going to be another season where they have an episode around Thanksgiving. We'll have to figure out what we're going to do. We'll work that out later. Yeah, all right, cool. Is that it? You guys are good?
That's all right. Yeah.
I can say one more thing. Nick should probably never attempt to get a job doing impressions.
Night of the Living Geeks.